This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Father, we give you praise for such a time as this. Your word says where two or more of us are gathered together, you are resident in that midst. You're resident in this place by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we submit this place to you. I submit myself into the hollow of your hands. And this congregation of your people, let there be a communication in the short time. We have, Lord, oh God, a communication between this pulpit and that which you have to say to someone here, to change their paradigm, to remind them of who you are, that you are God the same. You never change, Lord, oh God. You are faithful, even at those times that we step out of line. So take all the glory as you breathe over your word, Lord, oh God, this morning. We magnify you. Let no one leave this place the same way they have come. But somehow, as a nugget, as a reminder, flows through, Lord, oh God. Speak to the heart and mind of someone, Lord, oh God. Elevate someone. Lift someone up, Lord, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Hallelujah. The text is taken from John the 11th chapter. I read a few verses, we won't go through it. In my local church, they know when I stand, we will read a lot. Reason I do that is because I don't know how it is here. I hope it's not the same. The first time some people are opening their Bibles or looking through it is on Sunday when Pastor Koye is ministering. We experience it. I hope it's not the case there, but it's okay. Today can be a day of change. Amen? John, the 11th chapter. I'll read the first six and I'll go through the last. Now it says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Now go with me all the way down to verse 38, and I'll read it through to verse 44. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who were standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he has said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with brave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Let's bow our heads one more. Father, breathe over your word. Breathe over this place. Rule in this place, Holy Spirit. We banish every work of flesh. Let the hearts and minds of everyone here be receptive to the instruction and counsel and the reminder you have for this particular hour. We give you glory. I yield myself to you, Lord, O God. Not in enticing words of human intellect, but Lord, O God, the precision message you have for us all here. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. We will look at just a few nuggets. For the purposes of title, it's simply, let there be life. In this context, we realize this was, as it were, a hopeless situation. Something had died. And as Mary and Martha were concerned, it was done and dusted. In fact, they even said to Jesus that if he had been here earlier, he would not have died. But I want to say to someone here that death of any circumstance is only in human context. The God we serve, when the gentleman was ministering, when Jesus comes into contact with anything that will let him, life has to hit that thing. It doesn't matter how long it has been delayed. Pastor Koye was saying that this year is not over. There are things, I believe, in the life of someone here that needs a revival. There are things that need to come alive. It looks as though, let this year just pass by and let 2020 just come in. But I say to you this morning, there is life. The God we serve is the God of the zero hour. It was a zero hour for Lazarus. First point to know. Everything happens for a reason. Hear what God says, what Jesus said in verse 4. It says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. God is waiting on you such that his name is glorified in that thing that you think is over. I don't know what it is. But between you and God, you know that something needs revival. Amen? Paul puts it this way in Romans 8:28. He says, and all things work together for the good of them that love God and are they called in accordance with his purpose. Mary and Martha had a relationship. So the Bible makes us realize on account of that relationship, they were able to invite Jesus into the situation. Is someone with me? Second point I need to point you to. Who has got your back? You may say, how does that relate to me? Ask someone, ask the person sitting next to you, who has got your back? Ask again, who has got your back? Okay, you may say, how does that? If Lazarus, let me use the language where I come from, it's not very Christianese. If Lazarus was a nasty piece of work, if he had a terrible relationship with his siblings, with every, please note that there were a number of people around, there were mourners there who were there to mourn with Mary and Martha on the loss of Lazarus. So question is, if Lazarus had, let me use another word, fracas, his relationship with them. Can I step down a little bit? If Lazarus did not have a good relationship, sir, with his sisters, if they were fighting, they live, I don't know, 15 minutes drive away, and they don't talk, what Mary and Martha probably would have done, I don't know if people are very sanctimonious here, they would have said, yeah, when is it going to be buried? Let us know, we'll show up. But you see what happened? The Bible says Mary and Martha loved Jesus. Jesus loved them, and Jesus himself loved Lazarus. We realize there was a relationship there. The Bible makes us realize Psalm 133. I don't know whether the projection is. If you can flash it up, but I'll try and relate it. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. It says it's like the precious oil running down upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron. It says in like the dew of Hermon. It says in that place, the Lord commands a blessing. Not just a blessing of life forevermore. Now, if Mary and Martha did not stand in the gap, Jesus would have just minding his business. Because if you don't call him, he can't answer what you don't know, what a call you do not make. Are we still together this morning? So who's got your back? We will go through issues. Jesus promised in John 16:33, he says, in this life, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Challenges will come. It's not a function of if. It's a function of when. So Lazarus is dead. And his sister, somehow, this is a figment of my imagination, believe that it's not time for this young man. It's a sickness that shouldn't really lead to death. So they stood in the gap because Lazarus was part of that union. So you need to know that there is value in your horizontal relationships. Would people come to your rescue when you cry, help? So we need to look at that. Who's got my back? Husband, sir, wife, ma. Have you got the back of your husband? Have you got the back of your wife? That's one of the best relationships on the face of the earth. Yeah, I do appreciate that. Not everybody is that way. But somehow, there must be people all around you at every point in time, in every season of life, that must have your back. They are the people who will stand in the gap for you. Now, it is not within the way God created us. Ecclesiastes, let me read something to you in Ecclesiastes the fourth. Ecclesiastes the fourth chapter. And it's the value of horizontal relationships, the value of having someone have a back. Ecclesiastes 4, now from verse 9. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though they may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The wise man was talking that the power of oneness, the power of togetherness. Paul put something this way. Let's go all the way to Hebrews 10. Hebrews the 10th. Now read from verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Which means some people in church, when prayer meeting is called, you've been told now that there is fasting on Monday and Tuesday. Some people, I don't know about you, but some people will say, did I kill Jesus? It's the end of the year. Let's eat and be merry. Hallelujah. You're called to a prayer meeting. You don't show up. I hope you do. Night vigil. You see, what God is saying is, as long as you and I are in that boat of a fellowship like this, the boat will rock. Jesus promised it. But there is no way that that boat will capsize. If Jesus is in it, it may fill with water. But the owner of the boat, the owner of the water, is able to ensure. All he needs to do when you call him, he says, shush. The Bible says, the winds and the seas, inanimate things respond to the word of God that you and I have been commissioned to speak. Hallelujah. In Acts 12, I wouldn't go there because of time. The Bible makes us realize that Herod was kept in prison. Herod was about to murder him just the way he murdered James. But the Bible makes us realize that while Peter was sleeping, perhaps giving up that, it was already said to him anyway that you're going to be martyred, killed. But what happened there was the Bible says prayers were offered by the church. And that prayer hit heaven and the Lord sent an angel. So the question still again is, who has got your back? Or whose back do you have? We're called together to be in one family. Amen? And so Peter was freed from prison to carry on what the Lord had called him to do. I always like to use this example of togetherness in wildlife. Pastor Koye would allude to this. I'm getting used to calling him Pastor Koye. Let me lead you into a little secret. You may not know. We call him Man Koye and a number of other names which I am not privileged to share with you. With you here, in the wild, if you've ever watched a herd of buffaloes, and if you've noticed when a pride of lions want to attack, you will realize that what they do is strike fear in the herd, and they single out the one who strays away. Let me use the word strays away from the fellowship. There is a blessing in being in the house of God. Oh, there is safety. The wise man puts it up in Proverbs. It says, in the multitude, there is safety. So a pride of lions will single out a buffalo, and that buffalo becomes prey. And if you also notice, when those buffaloes stick together, it's literally almost impossible, as long as they stick together, for any lion in a right frame of mind will not jump on a buffalo. And it takes a number of lions to be able to bring a buffalo down. But the buffalo that strays is the one that becomes prey. Are we together? So Lazarus was in company. You and I need to be in company. God did not create us to be loners. That's why he sets us in families. Let me read something out to you. It says, it is not within our human nature to be capable of tackling every problem, every situation, every challenge, every dilemma we come across entirely on our own. Now, it goes on to say that it doesn't matter how strong or how smart or how beautiful or how intellectually sound or articulate or how much cash we have, how what the label on the clothes is. Those things are God. But those things are not sufficient for you in the day of adversity. In Proverbs 24:10, I believe, the Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is indeed small. But there is strength in numbers. Lazarus was not alone. Third item. In this context, it says, all these are reminders, because there's nothing here that we're saying that is new. Ecclesiastes 1:9 makes us reminds us of that there is nothing new under the sun. It's all from this word of life, which does not change. Let's go back to John 11, 43 and 44. Now listen to what Jesus says here. It says, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Did Jesus perform any gimmick? We are speaking spirits. That's a third item. God created us in his image to be like him. In fact, in John 14:12, I believe, he says, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works will he do, because he goes to the Father and sends the Holy Spirit. We are speaking spirit. So the same things Jesus does, we're able to do with the word of our mouth. The title of this deliberation is Let There Be Life in Accordance with the Word. Everything that God puts together in Genesis 1, the Bible says, God said, let there be. And there was. Which means everything responds to the word that we speak. So Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Can I say something to us? Oftentimes when we go through, it doesn't matter what the title is, whether you're archbishop, bishop, prelate, pastor, senior pastor, whatever it is, challenges will come. But one thing we must not do is keep quiet. In my native dialect, which is Yoruba, I will do my best to interpret it in the English language, that if you keep quiet, thank you, Ma, the Lord bless you. I won't say it out. That if you keep quiet, that situation, that circumstance will remain quiet. What that situation needs is, it doesn't matter. Lazarus was dead. But the sister somehow realized that, no, the giver of life, we're in company with him. If we invite him and speak, that dead situation will receive life. Oh, the Bible says in Romans 4, I think from 17 through to 18, he says he gives life to dead things and calls those things that be not as though they were already in existence, and those dead things receive life. Is there anything that you and I need to speak to? Lazarus was sick. Is there anything that the medical establishment, I don't know how, well, here you've got the best medical experts. We have situations where the best professors, they will tell you a particular circumstance. There are only 10 of them in the world, and they've consulted with all the 10 of them across the globe, and this particular situation, you only have the odd 3 weeks, and they invite the family, spend the rest of your time. But thank God for the word of life. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, I think 20 through to the end, the Bible says God is still using the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. It doesn't matter the intellectual articulation of who the professor of medicine is. God still reverses situations that are hopeless. In Luke 1:37, the Bible says, with God, nothing will be impossible. Absolutely nothing will be impossible. So you can speak to the career situation. You can speak to the financial situation. You can speak to that ailing business. You can speak concerning that child. You can speak concerning that husband. You can speak concerning that wife. You can speak concerning that outlaw or in-law. Okay. You'll get that tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no situation, if the God we serve says we are created in his image, that means we have that divine capacity. We must use it. In Luke 10, 18 and 19, Christ says something to the disciples. He said, I have seen Satan, our adversary, fall down from heaven like lightning. And he says, he has given you and I the authority to trample over serpents and over scorpions and over any situation, as it were. Are we still together? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so let's note this. So, third item, we are speaking spirits. Jesus said something. Well, Paul said this, sent this message to the church in Philippi, in Philippians 2:5. He says, let this mind, let this person, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This year is coming to an end. It's not over. Oh, yeah. It is not over unless we give up. Paul said to the church at Galatians 6, I think now, he says, and do not be weary whilst you're doing good, because in due season you will reap. God is not man to lie, nor the son of man to repent. When he speaks, it is done. Because he says he's magnified his word above all of his name. So in this context, another example. In Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones, I'm sure some of your Bible scholars, what God told Ezekiel to do was to speak to dead bones in the valley, very dry bones. And the Bible says those dead bones, they came alive and they became a mighty army. Are we using our mouths? Are we using the authority that God has given us to the extent that his name, because he's looking for his name to be glorified in that situation? Let me say one other thing before we move to the next item. Faith does not deny facts. Maybe the IT people in here would know. Faith simply overrides the fact, because faith is truth. In the beginning, God looked and saw that there was darkness. He acknowledged it. He recognized and mentioned it, that yes, darkness covered the face of the deep. And you know what he did? He said, as we said before, let there be. It's not complex. Let there be, and there was. In John 1, the Bible says the word became flesh, which means that the spoken word has the capacity to become a physical entity. Let me use this not so good example. In the days when Pastor Koya and I were naughty, mom sends you to do something and then you mutter certain things behind her back and you forgot that she was behind the door. You see, that little thing that you muttered generates a physical response like this or like that. Thank you, ma. Thank you. To reset. So what am I saying here? The word has life in it to bring forth a physical response. Job 22:28 says that you and I will decree a thing, and that thing will decree, will be established. It works both ways, both for the positive and for the negative, which is why we must watch. Let me show something to you here quickly. Let's go with me. Proverbs 18. So I believe it's a popular verse of scripture. Proverbs 18. If I can find a quote. Proverbs 18. Aha. Verse 20. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will bear this its fruit. In the occultic world, they use their mouth. If you've ever watched, I'm sure you guys see Nollywood here and those other funny. Incantations, there are words that are coming out from the mouth of those people who are godless. But it invokes power. It makes things happen in the occultic world. Are we still together? Do you have magicians in America? I believe you do. Now, have you ever had the things like hocus pocus, abracadabra? You've had that one before. And then he puts his hand on something and says some funny words that those words have made themselves in the dictionary now, and he brings out something. You see, those words are invoking things in the spirit world. We have authority in Christ because Christ is the superpower. Because when Christ comes into a situation, everything that is contrary must respond and say yes, sir, to the word of Christ. Let me quickly move to the next one. Fourth item. Whatever it is, in this context where Lazarus had passed them, let me put it this way, let's erase logic. We're very smart people. But sometimes we reason ourselves out of a miracle. And God is waiting on us to suspend the natural so that the supernatural can step in. Faith does not work with intellect. Faith recognizes that these things are so. So when we push that delete button, delete logic, they have said, let them say, Christ has the final word. Are we still together? You see, it doesn't matter. It may look like it's not happening, but stay with it. Somehow, in the appropriate time, if you don't give up, that thing will yield. Because there is nothing that can supersede the word of God. Because life resides in it. Or somebody say hallelujah. In Jeremiah 32, let me quickly read that out to you. Jeremiah 32. Verse 17 says something like this. It says, our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. In verse 27 of the same chapter, it says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, my time is about winding up now. Final thing, how did Jesus bring Lazarus back? And it's not a trick question. Thank you, sir. Word of mouth. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus is the word. Final thing, you and I must stay. However, let me put this way. You and I must have a 24/7 presence in the word. God is not going to operate outside of his word. In Psalm 138, I believe is the last verse, I think, he said, the Bible says, he has magnified his word above all of his name. Everything that God does speaks to a thing, speaks to winds and says, speak to the dead and they come to life. Speaks to the lame and the lame gets up. Speaks to the blind and eyes are revived. Speaks to the deaf and the hair speaks to the mentally deranged and sanity is restored. Are you still with me? Speaks to the epileptic and whatever was troubling that situation must depart. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:29, the Bible says, for the word of God is like a fire and like a hammer. It goes on to say that it breaks the rock of most stubborn resistance to pieces. So which means there is nothing that can withstand the word of God. Hebrews 4:12, I'll be rounding up on this. Now, Hebrews 4:12 and a few verses of scripture, and then we share a word of prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's Hebrews 4, verse 12. Yeah. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Are we still together? In John 15:5, the Bible says that I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, the word, and I in him, bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. In Philippians 4:13, the Bible says that I can do all things to Christ. You see, where that's what Christ is. I can do all things through the word that gives me strength to overcome every situation. Are we still together? John 6:63, Jesus says, the words that I speak, that you put in your mouth, they are spirit and they are life. You can use the mouth to bring life to anything that seems dead. And you can use your mouth to put to death what needs to die. Are we still together? I'll just round up on that. I hope somebody has gotten a nugget. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. King of glory, we bless your name. Thank you for this short time of exhortation, Lord. Oh God, it has been sown as seed. It's purely a reminder, for there is nothing new under the sun. Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, oh God, let it grow, let it germinate, Lord, oh God. Let everything, Lord, oh God, that needs life and life in whatever circumstance or situation, Lord, oh God, we decree life in the name of Jesus. Everything, Lord, oh God, that is untoward, Lord, oh God, that is not to be, Lord, we put them to death in the name of Jesus. We decree that life of abundance, Lord, oh God, over every soul here in the name of Jesus, Lord, oh God. There is nothing that can resist your word. And therefore, Lord, oh God, let your word come alive, Lord, oh God, yet again and again in the name of Jesus. Show yourself mighty. Father, Lord, oh God, am I asking in the name of Jesus. Fortify someone's hand here, Lord, oh God. Equip someone's hand for battle, such that, Lord, oh God, they run against every troop and overcome every obstacle, Lord, oh God, so that your name and your name alone is glorified. We declare, Lord, oh God, you are the God of the 0 hour. You are the God of the last minute, Lord, oh God. Oh, we thought it was over for Lazarus, Lord, but you said no. When he got into the situation, Father, Lord, oh God, Lazarus came forth. So we decree, Lord, oh God, a coming forth in the name of Jesus. In someone's finances, Lord, we decree a coming forth, Lord, oh God. In someone's health situation, Lord, we decree a coming forth, Lord, oh God. In someone's mindset, we decree a coming forth. In someone's business, we decree a coming forth. In someone's relationship, Lord, oh God, we decree a coming forth. In someone's career, Lord, oh God, we speak life in abundance in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, oh God Almighty, we have not come here to play church. Locate that particular soul here, Lord, oh God. That question mark, Lord, oh God, that they have, that have been discussing just between you and them. Lord, oh God, let the light from the throne room that dispels darkness, oh, saturate that situation in the name of Jesus. So let there be testimonies of your goodness, Lord, oh God, before this year is over. To you be the glory. To you be all the honor. To you be all the adoration, Lord, oh God. Show yourself mighty, Father, Lord, oh God. Command your blessing that makes rich and has no sorrow over this entire assembly, Lord, oh God. As 2020, Lord, oh God, is coming in, Lord, oh God. It's not just a new year. It's a new decade. Let it be a decade of new beginnings, Lord, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Enlarge the coast and the capacity of every soul and every family of this ministry as one body in Christ, Lord, oh God. Expand them, Lord, oh God. Lift them up, Lord, oh God, and show yourself strong. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you all the honor and all the adoration goes to you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Let's put our hands together for Jehovah. God bless you.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.